This is Donald Smith from Cornell University. I'm in Gloversville, New York, with Dr. Mark Crandall, class of 1939. It's May the 28th, 2008. Good morning, Dr. Crandall.
Good morning, John. This is a great privilege to have a dean call on an old-time practitioner. I've been retired 31 years. My memory is still pretty good at 95 years of age. I was born in Mechanicville, New York, which is called an Irish-Italian neighborhood. My mother died at an early age, 5. We were very fortunate in having a stepmother join us about 2 years after my mother died. She was a beautiful lady from the North Country. She was raised in Newcomb, New York, by her grandmother. She was a very accomplished woman. She took up dressmaking. She could make any attire, it seemed like. She made coats and hats for us kids, even. There were 6 of us. I was in the middle. 2 girls and 4 boys. We grew up there in the churchyard, and we had every kind of childhood diseases that you can think of. Measles, mumps, scarlet fever, typhoid. Well, I got typhoid out of the mighty Hudson because we'd swim in there. We had a swimming hole in back of the pulp mill, the West Virginia Pulp and Paper Company, and their sluiceway went right through our bathing beach, and the golf links was on the other side. I got typhoid, and I had a high fever. My mother went through scarlet fever, too, with my brother Ed. She kept the infections under control. She put sheets over the doors and sprayed them daily with Lysol, I think it was. She brought us all through. My father worked on the railroad. He drove a train from Mechanicville to Boston. There was always a freight train. He drove a train for 50 years, and he didn't have an accident. Every holiday and so forth, he had to work. And we got one sled for Christmas or one pair of skis. My mother used to sit in the big wicker chair, and she'd listen to one doing a spelling and another one arithmetic and so forth. I don't know how she did it. When I was 11, we moved to the farm in Stillwater. It was on the edge of the Saratoga battlefield. My stepmother loved animals and birds and farm crop. We had 146 acres, and my father kept working on the railroad, and we, as a family, did the work. Sometimes we did it wrong, like cultivating the corn. We'd cover up the corn on the side hill or do something foolish like that. But we had pigs and sheep and cows, and we raised corn and oats and barley and buckwheat and harvested them all. My brother Jim, who was also known as Cliff, was the oldest. He was the first to go to school. Where did he go? He went to New York State Veterinary College, and he graduated in 1931, when I graduated from high school. When it came time to go to school, I was headed for Green Mountain Junior College. The president of the college, or dean, I don't know which, came over to see my father. My father said, "I have no money to send Mark to school." When I graduated from high school, I stayed home a whole year on the farm. Milked cows, drove a team of horses on the wagon or on the sleighs to haul wood. I made money that way, and I bought a pair of sleighs to do it with. I had a garden, and I peddled the vegetables in Mechanicville. When I got ready to go to school, I had $65. I went over in the meadow where my father was baiting the cows. I said, "I'm going to Syracuse in the morning." He couldn't believe it. I went to Syracuse on the bus. I never came home for 13 weeks. I ate for $2.50 a week. They had meals for poor folks. And I was out for football 12 weeks. The coach was Ribs Basinger. We didn't do much as freshmen, only act as dummies for the varsity to run around and pass around. But we did have one scrimmage one night, and I played tackle. We got going to the locker room, and Ribs Basinger and I said, "Nice going, Crandall." I thought sure I'd make the team. I got to the locker room, and they'd stole my money out of my locker, all I had. I turned in my suit and went to work, mowing lawns, washing windows, and doing chores for everybody in Euclid Avenue in Syracuse. I stayed in Syracuse 3 years. My father helped me what he could. But there was another man who graduated from Cornell, Art Smith. He's the father of Lewis Smith in Stillwater. I took philosophy, sociology, physiology, botany, chemistry, history, and liberal arts in Syracuse. When I got ready to go further, I went down to see the dean of the Ag school. I decided I better do something that I could earn a living with. I told him I wanted to take education in milk testing and see if I could get into that to make a living. He said, "Oh, goodness sakes," he says, "we teach that course in 2 weeks. Why don't you go down to the vet school and see if they won't accept you?" Well, I bothered Dr. Hagen all summer long, and every time I'd come down, he'd be up in the laboratory looking through his microscope. He made a date with me to appear before the admissions committee. Olofsson, Miller, Dukes, Hagen, and all the rest of the faculty, I guess, are part of the faculty. Day came for me to appear. I was working in the laundry at the Good Shepherd Hospital, where my wife, turned out my wife, was a nurse. Well, we had a cloudburst that day, and I do mean a cloudburst. My wife had a car, and I was privileged to use it. I figured to make 50 miles an hour from Syracuse to Ithaca. When I got to the gas station on south end of Syracuse, I said, "How's the road from here to Ithaca?" He said, "The bridges are all out and you can't get down there." I think I was the last car to get down there from Syracuse. When I went through Dryden, there's a little brook comes off the side hill there. My car sputtered, almost stalled in the brook there, but it went through. And I arrived. Dr. Milk said, "Where did you come from?" They were all up there in a dither because the lake was overflowing and flooding the places downtown in Ithaca. I think I made the best speech that I ever made. I was bound I was going to get somewhere. They said, "Why did you want to take veterinary medicine?" Well, I said I wanted to attain that degree of security which well becomes any young man, if you can admit me. Well, they said, if you go to summer school and take the rest of the requirements, we'll take you in the fall. Anyway, I went to summer school. I got married 1935, and in the fall I went to Cornell. I lived on Eddy Street. My wife, Coral, worked at the Tompkins County Memorial Hospital. I worked in the cafeteria as a page boy, cleaned tables. I studied Udall's medicine down in the dish room downstairs because I washed trays. And I could wash trays and put my book up on the table and read and work at the same time. I did that the whole 4 years. Some weeks I'd earn $10 and some weeks I'd earn more. I kept a car out in Slaterville. I used to walk 5 miles out there to get it. I put it in a barn out there for $10 for the winter. After the first year, I lived next door to Dr. Fincher, and he would call me frequently to go on night calls with him and so forth. We had packing boxes for furniture, and I took care of the heater and shoveled the walks for my rent. When I graduated, I held up my right hand and they made me a commissioned officer. I did not take military training. Military training was optional. When I went to Syracuse, I took swimming. I didn't think it would mean anything. I got here, was practicing in this room right here, 1941, the Japanese raided Pearl Harbor. I didn't know what to do because I'd never taken military training. You don't graduate from Cornell unless you take military training. I was excused by one of the higher ranked gentlemen, wrote me out an excuse. Now he says, you don't lose that. You won't graduate unless you have it. I kept it. I registered in Johnstown for the draft. They classified me as essential and left me home. They let me test 8 townships of the county of Fulton and take care of the animal industry of the country here, which I was very thankful for. But I feel that I couldn't run for dog catcher now without having served my country. I think that is one of the biggest regrets that I've had in my lifetime, that I didn't serve my country. So I tried to make up for it in other ways. I've been community-oriented since I got here in 1940, and I've worked for the Cancer Society and the Salvation Army and the YMCA. I planted a garden of 1/2 acre, and I gave it to the local people here and didn't charge them for it. I built a hospital down there on Steele Avenue where we're due to go about now in 1964, and I went to Europe with the People to People program with the other boys from Cornell. I've been associated with the North Main Street Church, and I've been in Rotary the longest of anybody in this area. I joined Rotary in 1942. I've had perfect attendance for 53 years. I figure that Rotary was a community-minded service, so I could make up for my not serving in my country that way. I still go to Rotary, and I still have a singing group at the extended care of the hospital, which I prepare a program every Saturday, take it up on Monday, of 18 songs, and we entertain the patients in the extended care. That has been going on for 18 years, and I have 10 or 12 men that join me. We just sing the old songs and entertain, and they like it, and we kind of like it too. I did give Cornell $1,000 when I was in business, and my brother Cliff, they called him Jim, I think he gave him $10,000 at one time. The members of my class were all very sociable and became practice people, except one of our members went to Coney Island and sold ice cream.
Do you remember Dr. Kwong, Francis Kwong?
Yes, and I know Dr. Wiswall, contingent that traveled a lot, went on cruises and so forth, and visited Dr. Kwong. When I graduated, I took over the artificial breeding unit at Dryden, and I worked it for 9 months. Dr. Fincher brought artificial breeding to us from New Jersey in our senior year. There's one thing about the senior year and the final days in Cornell that I'd like to say, I'm sure now it's altogether different and it's been remedied. But they did not have classes in jurisprudence enough. We had a few, I can remember there wasn't 10 classes, I don't believe. But if they could have taught us better business, some of us would have been better practitioners. I was not a good businessman. I finally grew with the practice and learned to issue bills and itemize bills and instigate appointment practice.
Going back to your class, do you remember Dr. Skelton very well?
Oh, yes. Dan, he was a back man. He became involved in the meat inspection in Chicago and so forth. He was a good animal industry inspector and operator.
Two of the people in your class were sons of faculty, Birch and Sunderville.
Sunderville. Mm-hmm. Ed Sunderville died early of liver trouble. Sunderville was his father. He was the anatomy teacher. Daddy Milks died of melanoma of the liver, as I remember. Frank Birch was the son of Dr. Birch. I don't know what his specialty was.
Did you remember going to Dean Hagen's house for dinner?
No, I didn't do that, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. Dr. Olofsson was a very impressive man next to Hagen. Hagen was the astute scientist.
Thank you very much.